This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
Good. Hey, my name's Heath. If you're visiting with us, thank you so much for being with us. We're so excited to have you at church this morning, and we believe you're at a great spot, and I believe God has something he wants to say to you. We've been talking, last week we started a little talk over the next 3 weeks, just simply entitled Advent, and you hear that word maybe thrown around in culture today, and you're like, well, what is Advent? And it's just simply you and I taking a step back and learning what Advent is all about. And ultimately, Advent is a preparation season for Christians. It's about making the most of Christ's birth, which is what we're about to celebrate. But it's also a preparation season for Jesus' coming back one day. And that's what Advent is. It's all about what is about to happen, what's about to happen soon. In fact, the word Advent actually just means arrival. It just simply means arrival. And as we celebrate Advent, what we're doing is we are celebrating the arrival of Jesus. See, we understand that when Jesus shows up, I just want to encourage you in case you don't know this, but that when Jesus shows up, things change. Like when he arrived 2,000 years ago, like when we talked about this last week, up to that point, 700 years of no prophecies. It was a dark season. 700 years of no scriptures being written. It was like a dark season. And yet when Jesus showed up 2,000 years ago, things changed. When he arrives, when he comes back one day, the second return to Christ, things will change. But what's even more important, I want you to know, is that when he shows up in your life today, December 17th, 2023, things will change. The Bible says it this way in the book of Galatians. Paul writes in Galatians 4, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. So what Paul's reminding us, what he's telling us is that and this is so encouraging, is that from the very beginning, God had a perfect plan. Like, that should encourage us today, that from the very beginning, it wasn't like, well, I think I'll just write this, or I think I'll come up with this idea. From the very beginning, God had a perfect plan, a perfect time for Jesus to step onto the scene. And I want to encourage you that in your life right now, no matter what dark season you may be in or you're facing, how frustrating life may be right now, how chaotic the world may seem, I believe this: God has a set time for Jesus to step into your situation and to step into your life. And when Jesus steps into your situation, things change. And so I want to prep us for this and make the most of this Advent season as Christmas is just around the corner. Last week, if you were here, it's okay if you weren't, but if you were here, we talked about the arrival of hope. The Advent talks about hope, that when Jesus shows up, there's a hope that comes onto the scene. And as Christians, like, we should have this confident expectation about the results of faith. Like, you should be expecting and you should be confident that Jesus can show up in your life and that he is who he says he is. And so today, we talked about hope last week. Well, today I want to talk to you about the arrival, the Advent, the arrival of the way. The arrival of the way. That when Jesus shows up, he shows up, it shows us the way in which we're to live. Like, he was this example, and like, this is how you should live your life. Not long ago, I was in my company car, not my company car here, I don't have a company car here, but before I moved to Montana, I had a company car, and I was driving around with one of our youth pastors at the time, and younger youth pastor, and we're driving around, he's in his late 20s, and in the side pocket of my car, on the passenger side, he pulls out this thing called a map. Some of you are like, what is that? He called out this thing called a map, and I remember looking at him, and he's looking at this like a deer in headlights. It's like, what is this, right? And again, I remember he was in his late 20s, and he looked at it, and I forgot that there, you guys know this, right? There's a whole generation that doesn't even know what this is. Like, they have no clue what this whole thing is. And so I remember the time that I was a kid. I mean, I was a kid, and I would sit in the back seat of the car when my parents were driving, and I would hold one of these. Can any of you relate to that? You remember those times, right? And I would hold this in the back because I wanted to track where we were going. Like, I wanted to know when we would get there, and I could look at this thing, and I would be like, look at the map, and I would say, oh, well, we just passed that town, and so we must be getting close, because I always do the finger distant thing, and like, because my fingers were so close together, it must have meant that it wasn't far away. And so I would do this whole thing. I'm riding in the back, and I'm excited. And so I remember this guy in my car, he looks at me, and he literally says, he's looking at this, he says, how in the world did you all get around anywhere? And I was like, I'm trying to explain to him a map. And I felt really old as I'm explaining this. And so I'm telling, well, and I'm just like, hey, well, you know what? Here's the good thing. There was a whole season of time where if I didn't want to go to someone's house, I could just simply say, hey, I couldn't stop by because I couldn't find your house. The map didn't tell me where your house is. And so I told him, well, you know, we got our maps out, and what we would do is we would pull our maps out, and we would try to figure out what the map said. And then if we did get lost, what we would do, the next step for us was that we had to roll down our windows. Roll down our windows. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you are like, no, what is that? Roll down our windows, and we would find some weird dude on the side of the road that looked like he knew what he was supposed to be there. And we would go up to them and say, hey, I think I'm lost. Can you help me find Walmart? And then, of course, you would always say, sure, even if you really didn't know, right? And they were like, sure, so here's what you're going to do, right? So they always lean down in your car. And then here's what you're going to do. You're gonna go three lights that way. Go past three red lights. And then when you get to that third or fourth red light, you're gonna turn to the left. And when you turn to the left, you're gonna go down a bit, and then they're gonna come to the corner, and there's gonna be this house there that has a white fence. Don't turn there. It's like, why even add that? Don't turn there. Keep going to the next block, and then you're gonna turn right, right? And then you're gonna go about a mile down the road, and then you're gonna turn left on Westview Drive. And then you're gonna go down about four streets, and as you go down the four streets, there it will appear, will be Walmart, right? And if you're like me, you're in the car, you're just going, got it. I got it. And then you leave and you drive in faith that you will find that place, right? And then the reality was, it was only a few minutes later that we're rolling down our windows again to ask somebody else, can you help me find Walmart? Like, it's crazy, because then we got a little more sophisticated in our society, right? And this company was created called MapQuest. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? This company, what you could do is you could put in your directions or where you wanted to go, your destination, on your computer, and you could print it out. You could take it with you, like the turn by turn. Here's the problem, though. If your plans changed or you missed your turn, you were out of luck, because what you had printed in front of you was all that you had. And then there was something that was so beautiful that was invented. When somebody finally came up with a plan, and they said, what if we put a GPS in a people's car, right? What if we had a GPS that could literally talk to them and tell them step by step what to do? And this GPS was so sophisticated that even if you missed your turn, it would reroute you so that you could find your way to your destination. I mean, it was such a game changer, right? That some of you even here today, maybe this is your first time here, you made it on time because of a GPS, how to get to church. How many of you know that's what Jesus came to do? Like, he came to give you a map to your destination. Like, I want you to understand that for thousands and thousands of years, people, they had the scriptures, they had this map, like in the Old Testament, and they would go through this map, they would go through this Old Testament, and that's how they knew where to go. Like, they would have to, like, they would read this Old Testament direction, this map, the scriptures, and they would say, this is how you're to live, and this is what you're to eat, and what you're not to eat, and this is how you sacrifice, and this is how you should live, and this is what's next for you, and this is what you're supposed to do. And that's what they had. And then all of a sudden, Everything changed 2,000 years ago when Jesus stepped in on the scene. He stepped in on the scene and he's like, this is the way. This is the map that I'm going to give you to show you how to live your life. Like, you don't have to be confused anymore. You don't have to be frustrated anymore. You don't have to be concerned about what steps you are, what you should take and what you shouldn't take. In fact, you can look to Jesus and he is the way for you and I. He is the map for how we should live our lives. It's just that amazing. In fact, the Bible kind of maps it out this way in John chapter 14, and it says this. It says, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? So in other words, Jesus is right. This maps out what Jesus came to do. And this was Jesus, when he's talking this, he's writing this in John, he's talking about the end times, what you can expect. And then he goes on, he says, And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. So you read that, and then there was this guy, this disciple, his name was Thomas. And Thomas asked the question that needed to be asked. Look what it says next. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Hear me, church. You may not know the way. Like you might say, I don't know the way to fix my marriage. Like, I don't know the way to bring harmony to my family. I don't know the way to fix my health. Like, I don't know the way to bring peace to my mind. Or I don't know, I just don't know the way. And Jesus simply responds, hear me, with the most exclusive, most impactful statement that's been said throughout all of history. He simply says, I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the way. Like, he's telling you, I am the way. And then he says this in verse 14, he goes on, he says, in verse 7, he says, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Like, it was a definitive statement. He makes this unbelievably exclusive claim to say, if you want to know the way of God, like, if you want your life, if you want to know how to live your life, if you want more of God in your life, then it has to come through me. Like, in other words, you have to come to me and you have to live like me. Hear me, church. It's always about and always has been about following Jesus. I wrote down this way, the invitation from Jesus has always been and always will be to follow him, to follow him. This is what Christianity is all about. The phrase follow him, do you know that phrase follow him is actually mentioned 13 times in the gospel. Every disciple was called with the very same phrase, follow me, follow me. The rich young ruler was called with the same phrase, sell everything and follow me. Hear me this morning. This whole idea of following God, it's not a call to say, hey, join my fan club. Jesus does not encourage you to join his fan club. He's not saying, hey, join my fan club, celebrate me, maybe show up every once in a while, maybe a little worship here, a little prayer there, you know, admire me, you know, just celebrate me. That's not the call of Christianity. The call of Christianity is to follow him, is to follow him. Jesus said in Matthew 16, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. That's the call of Christianity. In fact, I wrote it this way. Jesus, if you're taking notes, this would be a good one to write down. Jesus did not come to accumulate fans, but to enlist followers. He did not come to accumulate fans, but he came to enlist followers. He has called us to be his followers. You see, a fan is not a follower. We might think that, but the reality is a fan truly is not a follower. Fan comes from the word fanatic, right? It means someone with extreme enthusiasm, interest, or excitement. Like last night. I was there. There was a lot of fans in one spot. And I remember sitting in the stands. It was so crazy. And the people are doing this. And I remember my son, Braden, leaning over to me and whispers to me. He goes, Hey, Dad, does that scare you when you feel the ground that stands vibrating and shaking a little bit? And I'm like, not until now. I was fine until you just said something. Thank you. Thank you for depositing that fear into my heart. I appreciate that. But it was literally shaking full of fans, right? Like enthusiasm. We all have this for certain things. We all have enthusiasm for a sports team, your favorite movie, your favorite hobbies. We all express loyalty to certain things. That they get our money once in a while. They get our time and attention once in a while. But at the end of the day, they are part of your life. They aren't your life. That's what it's like to be a fan of something. But when you're a follower of something, it consumes everything that you are. And that is what Jesus has called us to be. Jesus, he's called us to not be fans, but followers. And in the ministry of Jesus, there were thousands and thousands of fans and very few followers. Jesus would preach to the masses, sometimes 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 people gathered together. They were fans. Their idea was, what's going to be good for me today? What does Jesus have to impress me with today? How can he meet my needs? It was all about them. But at the end of the day, there were only a few moments. There was only a few amount of followers left over. I wrote it down this way. Fans want to be close enough to Jesus to get the benefits, but not so close where it requires true sacrifice and commitment. Like, we want to be close because we love the benefits that faith brings us, but we don't want to be so close where it's actually going to infringe on my life, infringe on my wants and desires. Like, we don't want to have to be sacrificial, and we don't want to have to commit. And I wonder, with your life, are you a fan or are you a follower? Are you a fan or are you a follower? The Bible says it this way in 1 John 2. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. It's pretty simple. It's pretty clear. You just have to live as Jesus is. That's what a follower is. That is someone who says, I'm going to live my life by following the way. By following the way. The word way in our passage, like the John 14, is the word from the Greek called hodos. It's this word hodos, and what it means is simply this. The word way in the Greek simply means highway, it means path, it means map. So we look at Jesus' life and we say, if that's how Jesus lived, if that's how he mapped his life, if that's how he walked on the highway and the path, then that's how I'm going to live my life also. That's why you hear us talk about, we're going to do 21 days of prayer and fasting, and we do it every year starting January 1st. And some people are like, well, don't we just repeat that every year? Don't we do that? And I'm like, absolutely. You know why? Because it's our hope that we can circle back and get back on path, that we can get back on the highway. It's our way that maybe some of us in this over this year have gotten off the highway. And this 21 days of prayer and fasting is a way for us to get back to the way, to get back to following Jesus, because the reality is, like, I noticed, like, in the kind of the young culture, it's getting cool again, if you remember this back in the day, but they had these little bracelets you'd wear called WWJD. And what it makes, these kids, we would wear them, and it kind of fell out of fashion, and now I'm, like, seeing teenagers start to wear these again. And WWJD, if you don't know, just simply means, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? And basically what it's saying is, your opinion doesn't matter. Like, your desires, they don't matter. You have denied yourself, you've taken up your cross, and you now live as a follower of the way. And by the way, church history lesson for you, we, us Christians, like, we weren't originally called Christians at the beginning. We were actually called followers of the way. Followers of the way. So what a great description. And I just wonder if people looked at our lives, if he looked at your life, would they be able to say, hey, listen, I don't know many details about them, but one thing I do know is they are followers of Jesus. I know the way that they treat their friends. I know the way they treat their enemies, how they serve their church, how they give generously, how they run their business, how the honesty flows out of them and comes from them. They are followers of Jesus. And in a fear of being old school or seeing old school, I want to encourage us, could we get back to a WWJD life where we ask ourselves constantly, what would Jesus do? It's like in a few, the end of the week when you're at Christmas dinner and that one relative is there, you can ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Not punch him. What would Jesus do? Like, that's what it's all about. Let's live our life that points people to the way. So real quickly this morning, I promise quickly, I want to break down just quickly three things that encourage us or how to live by the way. Like I heard it once said before, if you want to experience the life of Jesus, then you have to adopt the lifestyle of Jesus. Like if you want to live the life of Jesus, you have to adopt his lifestyle. A lot of people want the life of Jesus without the lifestyle of Jesus. And so this morning, I want to give you three breakdowns of the lifestyle of Jesus. What does it mean to be a follower of the way? Number one, real quick, the way of Jesus is simply this. How about slow down to connect with God? How about slow down to connect with God? Many of our lives are overly busy, just busy. Like we're overextended, overscheduled, overwhelmed by all the things that we have to do. And the reality is just comes down to this, you're just too busy. Like you're just too busy. And here's the scary part. How many know we take pride in being busy? You ever have been there before? Like, how are you doing? How's things going? Oh, I'm just so busy. Come on, feed me. I'm so busy. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. My kids, just got them in 20 things. They're gonna make me lots of money one day. I just know it. So we gotta keep them busy, right? You know, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm involved in this, I'm going here, I'm going there. We're just so, so busy. Imagine this. Here's the deal. If anyone should have been unbelievably busy, it would have been Jesus. Like it would have been really Jesus. Like Jesus, not to offend you, but Jesus' mission is more important than your mission. Like Jesus' mission was to save all of humanity and he had to do it in 3 years. Like if that was you, if you had to save humanity in 3 years, you would walk with a different purpose. Like I don't think you would care what your hair looks like anymore. Like I don't have time to do my hair. I don't have time to match my clothes right now. I gotta eat on the run. I can't hang out with you right now. I gotta save the world. I got 3 years to do it. I don't think you understand who I am. I don't think you understand what I've got to do, right? So we'd probably burn every relationship, never have time for family, and we would be running everywhere. But when you look at Jesus' life, the absolute opposite is true. Like we don't see that in his life. Jesus was never, ever in a rush. Like he was never in a hurry. By the way, cool Bible trivia for you, we never read or never see where Jesus ran one time. Some of you are like, yeah, that's me. Yeah, I like, go Jesus, all right? See, that's why I don't run. Thank you, Lord. He never ran once. Like you never have one instance of Jesus running from meeting to meeting. Why? Because Jesus understood how important it was to slow down and connect with God. To slow down and connect with God. If Jesus was like us, like if he was like us, we would probably say, hey, someone would say, hey, Jesus, can you come heal me? And we'd probably be like, Jesus would be like, I'm busy. I got things going on. I got a lot going on my plate right now. I can't stop. I gotta keep going maybe later. That's how Jesus, if he was us, that's how I would respond. But can I encourage you in the busyness of this life, in the busyness of this season that you're in, when the world was pulling at you, Jesus is the model for us. Because the world was pulling at him also. But look what he wrote in Luke chapter 5 or what was happening. Yet the news about him, this is what it says, had spread to all the more. So the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But look at this. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So, okay, the crowds are there. They heard about him. They all want to be healed. They all want a piece of him. And here's what Jesus did. He burned out his disciples and his friends. He worked his schedule overload, made it to every event, talked to every person, healed every... No, that's not what happened. What did it say he did? He withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Hear me this morning. Jesus knew the power of slowing down and connecting to God. He understood it. Can I just ask you a question? When was the last time you slowed down to connect with God? You might say, well, Pastor, I'm really busy right now. Like, Pastor, I got a lot going on. I'll do it later. I'll do it January 1 when it's 21 days of prayer fast. I'm just too busy. And I would say back to you, and it'll be on the screen, if you're too busy to pray, you're too busy. If you're too busy to pray, you're just too busy, right? You may have a lot going on in your life, but hear me this morning, never too much not to connect with God. Never. You are missing out. We would be missing out on what we were created to do, which is to connect with the God of the universe. And Jesus showed us that your life, hear me, your life can be highly productive, yet you can still slow down at times and connect with God. You can live a productive life and still find time to connect with God. That's why the psalmist wrote it this way. That's why David says in Psalms 46, be still and know that I am God. Awkward, isn't it? Like some of you are like, Pastor, don't do that. Like some of you are like, don't do that, Pastor. It makes the sermon longer. Like, don't do that. This service is going longer. Like, we got to go. Like, I'm hungry right now, Pastor. Can you please hurry up? We don't have time to be still and pause. I've got to get to the dinner table and gossip about the service today. Let's please hurry, right? Get this thing moving. Hear me this morning. We got to slow down, and we got to be intentional to connect with God, to connect with him. Here's my challenge this Christmas season. Simply slow down and connect with God. Don't buy into the busyness of the season and miss out on what this season is really about. It's about the arrival. It's about connecting with God. That when all the preparation for that one day, all the energy goes into that, let's don't miss out on what that day is really about. Can I encourage you, slow down. Focus on what matters most. God. Connecting with him. Worship. Recognizing him in your life. Serving others. Slow down, connect with God, connect with your family, get off your phone. How about this one? Slow down, say you're sorry, forgive, serve, slow down. How about this one? Speak to your neighbors. Invite people to church with you. Not just, hey, would you wanna go? Come with me. Like, slow down. The lifestyle of Jesus is we are not going to let the busyness of this world keep you and me from doing what we were created to do, which is to connect with God. I believe you can do it. I think we can do it. We can accomplish it. The way of Jesus, number two, the way of Jesus is simply to serve others, right? When we look at the life of Jesus, hear me, if anyone should have come with the perspective that you are here to serve me, it was Jesus. Like, right? He's God. He's God incarnate. If anyone had the right to say, hey, I'm here now, serve me, it would have been Jesus. I mean, he's God of the universe, right? He absolutely had the right to walk in the room and demand that you and I bow down before him. But here's the reality. How many know Jesus took a totally different approach? Totally different approach. There's a story in the Gospels, right, where a mother of two of Jesus' disciples, so she has two sons that are Jesus' disciples, she pulls Jesus aside and she says, hey, I don't know if you know how amazing my sons are. Any moms in the room, right? You're like, your kid could be the ugly, oh, never mind. But isn't he cute, right? But she thinks my sons are so amazing. And so she says, here's how amazing my sons are. I would like them, one of them, to sit at your right hand, and I'd like the other one to sit at your left hand in the next kingdom. Doesn't that sound like a great plan, Jesus? That's how cool my kids are. And Jesus looked at her and says, you don't have a clue what you're asking for. And it was in that moment that I think Jesus recognized something. He recognized that maybe his followers don't understand what it means to be a follower of him. Maybe this is they're thinking this way as we're just going to be fans, not followers. So he confronted them. And look what he says in Matthew 20. So Jesus called them together and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them and their high officials exercise authority over them. And then he goes on and says, but not so with you. Like everyone else makes it about themselves. It's about their prestige. It's about their platform. We all want our desires and we want our feelings to be recognized. But Jesus is saying, not so with you. He goes on, he says, instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. And then he gives this amazing description. Look what he says in Matthew 20:28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Man, what a mic drop moment. What a moment for them to go, wait. You said you're the Messiah. You said you're the King. You said you were going to do this, and you were going to tear down the Roman. You said you were going to save the world, and now you're telling us that you just came here to serve people? Jesus came down here to serve us and to serve people. He did it as an example for us. Like he didn't say, well, I serve and you guys just enjoy all the benefits. No, he did it as an example to say, hey, as I serve, you serve. Like culture makes it all about us. Culture says, what's best for me? But Christianity is what's best for others. Like culture is, how am I being celebrated? Where Christianity is, how am I celebrating other people? Culture is, how can I get recognized? How can my feelings in life be validated? Where Christianity is about grabbing a towel and serving other people. That's what it's about. We are not in this for what's best for us. We're in this for what's best for others. And if you want to be significant today in the kingdom of God, you have to understand something. I wrote down this way. Serving is the pathway to significance. Serving is the pathway to significance. Like, we will literally change the world if we learn to serve other people. We will change the world. And it's because it is so countercultural to what we do in our American culture, because it's always about us and about how I feel. And I'm just challenging you, and I'm challenging us this Christmas season. Can we make it about others? That's what Jesus would have us do. Like, can we live the way of Jesus? And the way of Jesus is to slow down and connect with God and to serve those around us. Let me give you the last one today. What's the way of Jesus? You know what the way of Jesus? The way of Jesus is we sacrifice with eternity in mind. We sacrifice with eternity in mind. We don't avoid sacrifice. We embrace it. We embrace sacrifice as Christians. Nobody likes to hear that. Sacrifice is not a fun word. We think that, well, because we're Christians, everything's perfect, everything's great, and our lives should be just this way. And yet Jesus is saying, listen, hey, I'm going to fulfill your life. You're going to be fulfilled, but it's going to come on the helms of sacrifice. Understanding that. We sacrifice our egos. We sacrifice our personal preferences. We sacrifice our agenda. We sacrifice our money, our time. And we do it because we know that eternity is real. We do it because we know eternity is real. And not only that, is it real, it's coming for all of us. Eternity is going to come for you whether you like it or not. Eternity is going to come no matter where you are in life. We sacrifice because we know that eternity is real and that eternity is coming for all of us. So what we do right now is an investment into what happens there. I love how Jesus writes it, talks about it in John chapter 12. He gives us this great picture of the way. And this is what he says. He says, Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies. Get this. It only remains a single seed. It remains only a single seed. But get this. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. If it dies, imagine if your egos died. Like imagine if your preferences died. died today? How about imagine if our agendas died today? Like what if our selfishness would to die? Like what if our ways were to die? What if our plans and how we see ourselves and our world, what if it all died today? Like if we lay it down, what did Jesus say? Like we think that one seed that just fell and it died. That's not what Jesus said. He says, hey, when you follow the way and you die to yourself, it's not an ending death. You know what it does? It says here, it produces many seeds. So our sacrifice, our laying down our ways and our agendas and our egos and whatever you want to add to, when we lay those things, when we sacrifice those things down, it doesn't stay dormant. You know what it does? It produces more seeds. Like imagine this morning a group of people at CLC coming together and say, hey, listen, it's not about us anymore. We just want to follow Jesus. Like when we do that, our one seed may seem to die, but boy, a collection of seeds grow in its place. Like we can't even begin to imagine what could be accomplished. And Jesus goes on and he says this last statement. He says, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Now hear me this morning. I want to make something very clear. What I'm saying to you is, I'm not saying we can't have fun. Like I'm not saying you can't enjoy things and you can't enjoy life. It sounds like, man, I came to church today to hear life's drab. That's not true. Like we want you to have all those things. But what he's actually doing, what he's giving us, Jesus is giving us a description. And he says this, if your heart and your passion is what you can get in this world, then you've missed it. If your fulfillment is found in everything that happens out there, then you've missed it. And he uses this word in the scripture called hate. And how many know hate is a strong word? But that's not really what he's saying. What he's reminding us today, Jesus reminds us that in comparison to what your agenda is in the next life, this life that you're living now, you should almost hate what you're doing. Because what you're going to, what we're working toward is so great. It's so amazing. And so awesome, so great, and so awesome that everything we're doing here fails in comparison to where it is that we're going. So the reality for us this morning is, are you laying down your life on a daily basis? Like, are you sacrificing your life every day for the life that is to come? Are you sacrificing now? Like the little things, not the big things, but the little things that compile, the little sacrifices along the way that compile into big things. The small sacrifices that are big, that are calculating for a big eternity in heaven one day. I love how C.S. Lewis wrote this statement because it is like in my face. And he said it this way. It is since Christians have largely, in a sense, Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world, that they have become so ineffective in this one. Like we've literally forgot about the other world, the heaven, the eternity, the things that God has for us on the other side. We have forgot, largely ceased to think about how awesome that is, how incredible that it is going to be, that because we forgot about it, because we cease to think about it, we've actually become ineffective in this world. Like ineffective for God, it's so true. And I just want to remind us simply this morning, we are called to follow the way. Jesus didn't say, come and admire me. He said, hey, lay down your life as I also lay down my life. We've got to slow down and connect with God. We got to learn to serve others. We got to start living a life of sacrifice for the kingdom of God. But here's the good news as I close this morning. The good news is simply this. Every time we sacrifice something, anytime there's death in the kingdom of God, there's always resurrection on the other side. Like anytime there's something you sacrifice and you feel like, I'm giving this up, guess what? There's always resurrection on the other side. Anytime you feel like there's a death or something I have to give away or some sacrifice I have to make, and we think, well, that's it, there's always resurrection on the other side of it. It's a promise to you. Like, that's the way of Jesus. He offered his life as a sacrifice for our sins. The example of his life as he laid down his life physically. 3 days later, he rose again. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. And he showed us the example that when you lay down your life, when you sacrifice for the greater good, when you truly become a follower of Christ, there's always resurrection on the other side. You know what God resurrects? He resurrects hope back into your life. He resurrects healing back into your life. He resurrects provision back into your life. He resurrects purpose and destiny back into your life. There is always resurrection on the other side of sacrifice. Always. It's not an end-all, church. It's not about giving something up. You know what it is? It's about giving something up but getting something back. It's about giving something up but getting, following God is like, hey, I know that there's going to be challenges along the way. There's going to be commitments along the way. But as I do that, there's always going to be, every step offers a new resurrection. So maybe today you're sacrificing something because you need hope. Maybe you need healing, or you need just that provision that God brings to you. Maybe you just need purpose and destiny. Listen to me. On the end of sacrifice, at the end of that, every step of sacrifice, I just believe that God resurrects something new. He just offers you something new, something great. He provides something unique in your life. There's always resurrection on the other side of sacrifice. Hear me. This is the advent. This is the arrival. God has arrived in this place. He's arrived in Missoula, Montana. He's not absent from us. He's not abandoned us. He is in the midst. He has arrived in this season, in this time. And I just want to challenge you. Are you willing to move from a fan to a follower? Are you willing to move from a place of admiration to a place of like, hey, God, I adore you. And because I adore you, I give you my life. I sacrifice. I pause, I slow down so I can connect with you. I serve others and I sacrifice. What I love about the term, and I'll close with this, following God, is I think that implies something. When God says, come follow me, when Jesus says, follow me, it implies this. Because when you follow something, or you it has to be present. Like, I don't think Jesus said, follow me, see you later, right? I think Jesus says, follow me, and it implies presence. It implies that he's there with you. So when we're following God, we're following Jesus, we're not alone. You're not doing it alone. Like, when you're sacrificing, you're not doing it alone. When you're connecting with God, you're not doing it alone. When you're following him, you're not doing it alone. He's with you. He gives us an example to follow, and he says, hey, follow me. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to be present. So, Lord, right now we just come to you. We thank you for this opportunity we have to worship you and to lift you up. Lord, we're just right now going to begin to just lift our voices to you, Lord Jesus. And we're going to make a place or make a space in this room in the next few minutes we have, Lord, to re-examine our hearts. Lord, are we fans today or are we followers? Lord, are we like casual observers or are we all in? Lord, are we the people that say, hey, you know, you're part of my life, God, or you are all of my life? Lord, I pray that in this room you'd make us followers of Jesus, followers of the way. That's what Advent is about, because you've arrived in this place to change us, to encourage us, to forgive us. You've arrived in this place to meet us, and we worship you for it.
And I hear you call. I hear.
So the question this morning is, are you available? Say, God, I'm available to follow you wherever you go. With your heads bowed, your eyes closed, I want to close out with this. If you're here this morning and you're at this place, you're like, I want to be a follower of Jesus. God has arrived in this place. He arrived 2,000 years ago. He'll arrive again one day. But he's also arrived today to meet you so that you can move from one spot to another. And maybe you're in the room, you're like, I just need to make a commitment to be a follower of Jesus, the way. Their heads bowed, eyes closed, just right here real quickly in this room. If that's you this morning, you say, listen, I need to move from one position to the next. I need to become a follower of Jesus. So I'm not gonna embarrass you right here where you are, just between here, our eyes are closed, our heads bowed, which is between you and the Lord. But I want to pray for you. And if that's you this morning, I'm gonna ask you just to put your hand up real quick. And if you're in here and say, I just need to be a follower of Jesus. Anyone else? Come on. It's your opportunity. Amen. Lord, right now I pray in this room. You help us. Those who raise their hand in this place, say, Lord, I just want to be a follower of God. I don't want to be casual in my approach to the Lord. I don't want to be just a fan that celebrates from time to time, but I want to be a true follower of God. That he can speak to the decisions I make. He can speak to the places that I go, the things that I do. He has permission to do those things. And so, Lord, we lift you up today, and I pray for those in the room to say, I just want to be a follower of God. And, Lord, I just believe this. Lord, it's for all of us in this room. It's just a simple declaration right where we're sitting. As simple as it is, just say, God, I want to be a follower of you. Lord, forgive me if I have been a fan. Forgive me if I've been that person on the sidelines and hasn't quite gone all in. I want to be a follower of you. I want to walk with you. I want to hear from you. I want to follow your steps. I want to connect with you. I want to serve others. I want to know the ability and have the courage to sacrifice, knowing that as I sacrifice, it's only an investment to my eternity. So I pray for that, our church today, God. Help us to be a collection of people who follow God. That, Lord, when we sacrifice one seed, many seeds grow in its place. That's our heart desire this morning. I want to pray over your people today. May your face shine upon them. Lord, may you walk with them. I pray over the next few days as we have together, as we gear toward a time of celebration, Lord, that God, our hearts would be in tune to you to say, hey, Lord, I want to hear from you during this time. I don't want it to be just another season, just another holiday, but I want it to be a true time where, God, you've arrived, and I want you to arrive in my life. And we thank you for that. Lord, we do love you today. I just pray, God, that you go before us. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you, to worship you. And Lord, we look forward to the days ahead. So we give you honor. God, we give you glory. In Jesus' name, everybody say, amen. Come on. Thank you for being here today. Love you. Hey, we have some staff that's over here, Pastor Steve, Pastor Matt. If you need prayer this morning, personal prayer, you go find a corner. They're happy to lay hands on you just to pray with whatever your needs are. And don't forget, Wednesday night, want to see you here Wednesday night, and then next week, 10 a.m. or 4 p.m. God bless you.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.